Hello, everyone, and welcome back to A Journalist's Guide to AI. I'm Yumi Wilson, your host. I'm also a professor at SF State, a life coach, and a former communications manager at LinkedIn. This show is all about bringing to you ideas and thoughts on how AI is impacting journalism and the media. Today's show is going to be all about ASI, and you're probably wondering, what is that? Okay, so ASI, what is that? Well, before we get there, we've got to understand where we are now. So where are we now? We are at the place called ANI. And what does that stand for? Artificial narrow intelligence. That's where we are. Yeah, they're breaking down the AI into, you know, levels. So what does narrow intelligence do? What is it good at? Well, basic bottom line is this. Narrow intelligence is good at one task. So imagine most animals, or an animal, imagine the animal of your choice. That animal is probably good at one or certain tasks to survive, to eat, all those things, to mate. But it can't do much more than that. So that might help you understand a little bit more about narrow intelligence. So a little bit more of the techno term on it, artificial narrow intelligence relies on pre-programmed algorithms and data. So that's why you hear so much about, ChatGPT or Gemini or Claude or Perplexity using data from other sources. When you think of DeepSeek, right? One of the complaints that we've heard is, hey, they took our data. So it's using that data to create a system that can answer people when they have questions and they need help. A good example of this narrow intelligence system is called ELIZA, way back in the 1960s. So in 1964, ELIZA was considered the world's first chatbot. Good to know, because some might be thinking, oh, this is all new. And no, it's actually been around for, 60 years. Now, humans need to be involved. They need to intervene. They need to be a part of narrow intelligence for it to work. It can't learn by itself. So it needs us. And so the question about, will AI replace humans? Not with narrow intelligence. They need us to program. They need us to be there. They need us for oversight. So if you think of a current machine learning model, you know, something like, let's just look at ChatGPT. ChatGPT is still considered narrow intelligence, but it's improving by the day, really. And some are saying with developments, they're seeing a bit more kind of, is the tool able to make its own decision, or does it still need the human oversight? Bottom line is, it's a huge improvement from ELIZA and from the beginning, even if it's still narrow. I want to do another big shout out to SASPOD. What is SASPOD? First of all, it's SASPOD. SASPOD is a full production company, and I mean full. It is the company that I have been with from the start in creating and coming up with this podcast. And they are now helping me with a range of production tasks. Some of them are audio and video production, topic researching and outlining, social media posts, copywriting, show notes, podcast development. I can't tell you how helpful this team has been in my life as I've tried to build this show and bring to you important information on how AI is changing the game. So if you are thinking about doing a podcast, or you're doing a podcast and would love some of this help, well, SASPOD is the company to turn to, and they are offering $60 in credits right now. So if you join this platform, you are going to get $60 in credits, and you can use those credits for any of their services. So, and if you want, more information, hit me up, let me know. Happy to talk about it. So what's next after narrow intelligence? Are we ready to deal with this thing called ASI? And now I will tell you what that means. Artificial super intelligence, like Superman or Superwoman, must be amazing. Are we there yet? Or is it just around the corner? Not quite. Actually, there is a step between narrow intelligence and super intelligence. And what could that be? It is called general intelligence. So general intelligence, it's good at multiple tasks like us, like humans. Humans and some animals are at this level. And general intelligence started, well, if we go back and we look at human creation, evolution, and all of that, you could say it goes back 7 million years ago. Since then, right, since all of these millions of years, we've done things like manipulated fire, when you think of what humans have done and evolved, created tools to hunt, started wars, built cities, and landed on the moon, at least according to some. So if you think about the capability of the human, it is great when you think of the ability to change, to evolve, to adapt, all of those things. And so this is what general intelligence is. Artificial general intelligence can understand the world and can apply knowledge like humans. It's capable of cross-domain learning and reasoning, and it makes connections across different fields. So you can see how general intelligence puts us in that realm of, wow, this robot, this tool is doing a lot more than just the basic tools I set out or programmed it to do. Is true AGI available to you now? Not quite. It is not really there yet when you think about general intelligence. And although a lot of companies are looking into this, researchers are working on this, it's not available. It's not quite ready. Now, some folks do predict it will be invented by this century and it will disrupt society as we know it. So, general intelligence is not here yet. So what does that mean for super intelligence? Well, it definitely means super intelligence is not here yet. So until there's that general intelligence, we're not going to get to the Superman, Superwoman thing. But what would that look like? What would that be? Well, ASI, under these conceptual models, ASI would be better than humans. It would surpass human limitations. Well, let me repeat that again, because just saying that just sounds like we are in a movie, right? We've watched some of these movies and shows that are coming out where they are doing what we want, programmed, right? But they're doing more than what we want. Some of those movies don't end well. So this isn't to say that the development of ASI is going to be great. That is not what I'm saying. I'm saying that this is the mode of development that we're on. First, ANI, narrow intelligence. Second, general intelligence, where these tools, and I've been watching this show, I don't know if you've heard of it. It's called Sunny. It's on Apple TV. And it's starring Rashida Jones, one of my favorite actresses. Anyway, it's about a robot. It's a show based in Japan, and it's about how this robot is doing what you want in every single way, but then it becomes its own person. And so when I think of ASI, I'm thinking of Sunny. Is it good? Is it bad? You check out the show. And if you've checked out the show, definitely let me know your thoughts. Drop them, in the comments. Send me a note. I'd love to hear that. But ASI, needless to say, is still far, far away. But Not everyone thinks it's that far away. What will it do if it comes? Well, it would take care of a lot of things without having us tell it what to do. So imagine a world where AI surpasses human intelligence, not just in number crunching, but in creativity and problem solving. And we haven't even gone into the ethical realm of all of that. What will that mean ethically? What will that mean legally? Will AI at that point replace us? Now, I'm wondering from you, as you're listening to this, and perhaps you've done your own research and heard about this, do you believe the future is inevitable, or is this just pure science fiction? So, once again, where are we now? AI, today's systems excel at specialized tasks, ChatGPT for language, you've got AlphaFold for protein prediction, you've got lots of different AI tools working for law firms, working in the banking industry, working in the healthcare industry, working in almost anything you can imagine, there's some component of AI. And now I hope you can see that there are different levels of this AI. Now, AGI, as I mentioned, general intelligence, it's still theoretical, requires some breakthroughs in reasoning, some self-awareness and adaptability. And that big thing about ASI, it's purely, I would say it's speculative. People are definitely working on it as we speak. There's a lot of discussion. There are some researchers who are saying that if AGI can start to work, then the evolutionary process of change will be much, much faster. And what would that look like? And how will that happen? So let's break it down a little bit, because it's not just about like thoughts and wishful thinking or, just a matter of time. There are some components that I want to discuss here. So how do you get to ASI? So first you got LLMs. And this is something that's already happening. ChatGPT, Gemini, Perplexity, Claude, Monica, so many of these tools are able to produce results that we want or close to what we want, let's say that, based on these language learning models, because so much data comes in, not just from the previous when they were building, but now because so many of us are using these tools, we are providing data. We are providing data for them as well. And so they are able to grow and the answers seem to get better and better. But what else do you need more than that? Well, you need multi-sensory AI, AI systems that can interpret multiple sensory inputs, things like sight, sound, and touch. Again, bring me back to that show, Sunny. And I remember a show from the 70s that also was kind of the robot in the house that kind of took over. There's been a lot out there in terms of shows, books, and articles, and movies. So early progress is underway with applications in robotics, autonomous vehicles, and augmented reality. All of those things are happening. So multisensory AI is something that is happening. So you've got LLMs and you've got MSAI or multisensory AI. What else do you need? Well, you need neural networks, computing systems inspired by the human brain. So interesting. I mean, to know that we only use such a small percentage of our brains, this is a fascinating part of it. The idea that you want to have systems inspired by the human brain. They consist of layers of neurons that identify patterns, improve predictions, and power complex tasks like facial recognition and language translation. As soon as I said facial recognition, most of you are thinking about your phones, right? Pick up the phone, facial recognition, able to sign on in seconds instead of typing things in. And what is the status? how often are these things used? Is it in progress? Where are we? So neural networks are widely used right now, okay? But they are still evolving. And advancing these networks is key to achieving AGI. So it's key to achieving the next step, which is general intelligence. So even before we get to super, we got to get to general, and Neuralinks and the development of Neuralinks or neural networks is going to be super important. Another thing that you're going to need is neuromorphic computing. Yeah, let me say that one again. Neuromorphic computing. Now, this is a hardware-based computing system designed to mimic the human brain's architecture. Back to that brain, the glorious brain. And so imagine that the system can mimic the human brain and its architecture, but improve efficiency and adaptability. More of that brain being used to do the things that people want to do. And it replicates how biological neurons process information. So where are we on neuromorphic? I'm going to just say that 10 times. Neuromorphic computing. Yes, it's still experimental. But it is promising to researchers, and there's a lot of potential for energy efficient and powerful AI once there's a breakthrough there. And then what else do you need? What else do you need in this magic mix? Evolutionary computing. Now, evolutionary computing is when you think of algorithms, right? So algorithms inspired by biological evolution that improve solutions over time through mechanisms like mutation, selection, and crossover. So you can see the connection with biology and looking at it through nature and that lens. And what would need to happen for these algorithms to be as smart as humans, and certainly to be smarter. They need that component. Where are we with evolutionary computing? Well, it's been applied successfully in engineering and design. So it's being used in some areas, but it has not yet been integrated at scale for AGI development. So once again, you've got LLMs, we're using that, MSI or MSI, multisensory AI. This is coming along. Neural networks, we've got neural networks, but there needs to be more evolution in that area. Neuromorphic computing, and we're not there yet. And then you've got evolutionary computing. So with all of these things in mind, you would then be able to get closer to first AGI, and then ASI. Now, some of you might be thinking, well, Yumi, that's just really great that you've listed a lot of terms and things that maybe you didn't know about it, but what will it do for society? How will it better our community? How will it help people? And of course, that question, will it replace us? So let's talk about the benefits. The benefits of ASI include enhanced decision-making. So if you have ASI, super intelligence, it could help solve complex global challenges. And I think that could be a good thing. Revolutionize problem solving. That could be a great thing, right? For sciences, math, medicine, engineering, even journalism and media and marketing and advertising and law. I mean, the idea that a system could be as smart or even smarter than us could be of help when we're figuring out problems or solutions to problems. Now, the big one I think is going to be the question is creativity. Can AGI or ASI really be the model for creativity? If you talk to artists and writers and those who make their living and create original work, there is a big question mark there. But what if these tools could help humans be even more creative than imagined? It's a question. And because it's not here yet, it's something to consider and worry and wonder about. The other thing that ASI could do is it could remove human bias. And that's a big one, because even though certainly these tools have bias, as many of you know, and where does that bias come from? It comes from because humans have programmed these tools. And we can see examples of the bias in all kinds of ways. I know for myself, anytime I'm running or trying to create a photo of myself, and certainly when I started, I noticed that the skin color wasn't just right. And what I've learned from some of the speakers on this show is that they are taking in data from the data that is already there. So if newspapers, magazines, television shows, all of that is based on a predominant, let's say, mainstream society, and that society is of one race, one ethnicity, one background, one gender, then that is where we can start to see the bias. Imagine a system where it takes out that human bias. I can't imagine how it would be right now, because humans are going to be involved in every step of the way as these things are developed, but I'm very curious and interested in finding out if this can work. Those are just some of the benefits. Are there any risks? You bet. So, risks. Loss of human control. And this is what so many books, shows, and movies in the fiction realm have kind of touched upon or tackled, right? What happens when your super tool isn't super cool anymore? What happens if that tool becomes violent or mischievous or, takes matters into their own hands? So loss of human control is a very big concern when it comes to ASI. ASI might become too powerful to manage. What else? Well, economics, right? If you've got everything automating everything else and it's smarter, faster, and all of that than us, I'm thinking bionic man and bionic woman back in the 70s, then where do we stand as humans? And that is a real concern when it comes to jobs. Another risk of ASI is existential, which is uncontrolled ASI could pose threats to humanity. And that one in itself is a scary one to consider, but it's definitely important to talk about here as I talk about this thing called ASI and as we wonder about the future. My hope in saying that out loud is that humans from all sectors and all backgrounds are involved in the making of these tools and systems that are supposed to help us and not replace us. I think as long as we can keep discussions like this going on and be the voice of reason, I think we stand a better chance to avoid that threat of uncontrolled ASI becoming too powerful. Now, this hasn't even tackled the ethical dilemmas, because that's a big question now as we use AI tools in our everyday lives. What are the ethics for every sector, every firm? What is the ethics for an artist or writer creating story? How can these AI tools be used ethically, but help to have artists and writers and musicians and others do what they love in that creative mode, but do it better, do it faster, do it on their own when they don't have a budget, when they don't have a team, when they don't have personal assistants or editors. And this can be true for other sectors. I'm thinking of friends who are lawyers and friends who are in many other sectors, and they're thinking, wow, I would love to have an assistant or a tool that can help me become more efficient in the day. But the ethical considerations are there, and what do we do about it? So on one side, you've got your benefits, decision-making, problem-solving, error reduction, less bias. And on the other side, you've got, it might take over. I mean, think Terminator, right? I mean, I'll be back. So there's a lot to consider as we talk about a really huge and important topic, because a lot of people in this area are looking at how do we improve AI? Where do we go from here? And these are the steps. I also want to share with you what Ray Kurzweil, he's on YouTube, Now, Ray Kurzweil is a researcher, written quite a bit. He actually predicts that AGI, remember that's a middle step, is going to be around by 2029. I mean, that is 4 years from now. That seems crazy to me. But I would have probably said having AI in my life, if someone told me, oh yeah, this AI tool can, you know, write news inverted pyramid stories. It knows what you mean by Associated Press style. It can distinguish between a broadcast lead and a print lead. I would have said, you're crazy, right? I would have thought that was crazy. But here we are in 2025 with so many tools at our disposal that's making video, that can edit video, that can create scripts, that can do so much already. So I don't know. I mean, is 4 years from now crazy or is it possible? Now, if AGI does happen, well, when would ASI happen? And Ray Kurzweil, definitely check him out on YouTube. He says ASI could happen by 2045. That's 20 years from now. ASI, driven by exponential improvements in neural networks, computing power, and AI training, could be here in 20 years. Think about your sisters, your brothers, your children, your grandchildren, your auntie, you know, the next generation's coming up. They may be experiencing super intelligence in their lifetimes. And maybe even a lot of us. Now, there are some people who say, wait a minute, this is all kind of crazy magical thinking. Folks like Gary Marcus believe AGI is still very distant, and they say ASI is highly unlikely to happen soon because it lacks reasoning and common sense. Now you know what ASI is, you've got AGI, and now you know we're in narrow intelligence. What is next? Well, there's a lot going on in that world. Billions of dollars, hundreds of billion dollars are being invested as we speak in AI infrastructure. You've got OpenAI, which owns ChatGPT, SoftBank, Oracle, and so many others creating training centers. I'm at a university where AI is a huge component there as well. I mean, there's discussions on it, trainings on it. I think everyone is kind of in that space where they're going, what is this? How can it help us? And I hope they're also asking, how can it hurt us? And let's avoid that. It's about being competitive because not only is the AI kind of world happening here in the United States, it's also happening around the world. So a lot of different countries, a lot of different companies are definitely in the space of figuring out how to develop the best AI tools, how to get to general intelligence and then super intelligence. And that just reminds me of DeepSeek, right? DeepSeek came along, as you'll remember from the last show, and DeepSeek is faster in some ways, right? It is cheaper in many ways than the OpenAI tool ChatGPT. All of these things are still being studied and researched and all of that. But if this continues to happen, we could see it happening. Focus on data control, AI-driven defense systems, and geopolitical dominance are also issues that some of these tools, systems could really become a part of. Is that good or bad? Could be good and could be bad. What does ASI mean for journalism in particular and the media? Well, imagine fully driven AI newsrooms with minimal human oversight. Just the thought of it is frightening to me. And I think a lot of my colleagues and former colleagues, you know, at the places I've been, The Chronicle, The Associated Press, and so on, I can't imagine. But could it happen? And predictive journalism, meaning AI-shaped stories before audiences request them. Now, that in a sense is already happening in terms of selection of news because based on your algorithm, based on your behavior on, let's say, Facebook, you're getting stories that are programmed to what you probably would want to see. We're seeing that happen on the Google searches, Instagram, and so on. But just imagine stories being shaped even before you request them the entire story. And I think another big concern is the potential loss of investigative journalism And if AI has all of this access to the key information that investigative journalists need, how are we going to have access? When I say we, how are investigative journalists and other journalists trying to do their jobs right going to have access? And are they going to do it? If they're the tools giving us, the systems giving us the information that we need to function and so on. So there's just so many questions as we think about ASI. And I think the big question is, are we ready? Who will control ASI? The tech giants, government, a global body, and who will have access to it? Will there be a barrier of cost? Will it be accessible to all? So there are many things to consider as we move toward this grand scheme of what AI could look like. And then the other big question is, do we need an off switch? What if ASI goes rogue? Back to the Terminator series. So my final thoughts are this. ASI's arrival is uncertain. It could be decades away. It might not happen. I don't know. I think it's going to happen, but I think it could be decades away. The most important factor is how we prepare and how we engage. I used to think by avoiding things that would solve my problem and that would keep me away from danger and that would keep me away from problems. But so much has happened in my life that I realize now that it's not about moving or hiding from those problems or hoping and wishing they would just disappear or keeping myself free from, you know, the challenges and situations that might get me into that danger. I think it's about diving full in. It's about examining what's going on, asking questions, and getting involved through work, through projects, through teams, through this show. And that's one of the big reasons I created this show was, you know, as my industry started to change, which I already discovered by working at LinkedIn about 10 years ago and understanding like social media's impact, I realized knowing and understanding how AI is impacting the very industry that I continue to teach about every single day is not only important, but it gives me more power. It gives me more say. And with that, I hope that you have some information, some food for thought, and some ideas on what to do next. So thanks again for watching this episode. If you would like to ask me questions, find out more about the show, or you're interested in coaching, maybe you want help on your how to develop your brand, learn about LinkedIn profiles and resumes, and you want to know how these AI tools can help you produce, let's say you need 6 different kinds of resumes for the different types of jobs you're applying for, or you just want to have some coaching on career, maybe taking that next big step, I would love to be your person. So contact me. You can find out more about me at yumiwilson.me. And again, my social networks. Until next time, have a great week.